Okay, so I'm going to start a little different. I'm going to start you with an ad, and then we'll get moving.
We are all connected to the world around us. Our actions affect our environment. And in return, our environment affects us. The health of our environment directly affects our health. We need more than exercise and a good diet to take care of ourselves. We need knowledge. But how can we make the connections between our health and the complicated world we live in? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Environmental Public Health Tracking Network. The environment plays a role in many chronic diseases, but we don't always understand the connection. Now, the CDC lets you see information about some health trends and environmental hazards in your community. Vital public health information is now united with environmental hazard and exposure information in one dynamic website. CDC's National Environmental Public Health Tracking Network. For the first time, you will have an easy-to-use tool that lets you see health and environment information together. We can work together towards a healthier planet and healthier people. CDC's National Environmental Public Health Tracking Network, the future of environmental public health.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
They make me wear a microphone, I don't need it, but they make me wear one. I want to show that for the people that in here that may have never heard of anything about what the tracking network is. I realize I see a lot of faces that have. Also, we'll talk a little bit later about how we're organized, and that actually came from our communications group and getting the word out about what we're doing and how we're doing it, okay? But before I can talk about now and what we're doing, I get to go back. I get to talk about where we came from, and that's what I'm going to do for the first little bit before we break into our three informatics topics we're going to talk about today. So in 2000, the Pew Commission put together a set of documents where they went to local, state, and health organizations and tried to find out where the problems lie, why environmental data and public health data could not be married and why we couldn't see that, and they realized there was a gap there. And CDC looked at that and said, yes, there is, and in 2001 put together work groups that looked at the problem, identified the problem, and tried to figure out how we could fix it. In 2002, Congress actually established a line item in their budget to establish the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network. And with that came the national group here at the CDC and also us available to have grants for our partners out there. We'll talk about our partners a little bit later. But so the tracking network was officially formed in 2002 based off the work groups and recommendations that we had going into that. We realized going into it we were going to have some issues. We realized there was limited data out there. We didn't have data at the granular level. We didn't have the type of data from the states that we needed. We realized the tools weren't there to overlap these things. There was nothing in place to begin with, or if there was, it was so specific to an individual state that it really didn't help us at a national level. There was limited capacity and limited standards. Basically, we realized at the end, we don't know how one affects the other. And even now, post-launch, we're only scratching the surface of what one affects the other. Okay. So our mission is to provide information from a nationwide network of integrated health and environmental data that drives actions to improve the communities. We start with data. It all begins with data. The data could be public data from EPA, it could be state data, asthma data, MI data, but you get the data, and then you have to turn that data into information. Information that you can use. That's where we come in. Our portal, whether it be the public or secure portal, which we'll talk about later, takes the data and puts it into readable reading formats that you can understand, and you can provide that as knowledge to the people who make decisions, okay? And if all that works correctly, we end up with action. We can take the results of this information and turn it back into a product that stakeholders can use to make changes so we don't do the same mistakes again, okay? And that's really, if you've seen any presentations on tracking, you've probably seen this slide. But it's basically saying taking health effect, taking environmental, taking hazard data, feeding it into the tracking network where we collect it, we interpret it, we analyze it, and then out to stakeholders.
assessments, policy people, researchers, and in turn, improving public health and beginning the cycle of making things a little different. Okay. So I said in 2002 we started. In 2006 we actually began to implement the state, local, and national portals. And from 2006 until now, we've been doing that. And in 2009, July 4th, 2009, the national portal was launched. Some of our state portals launched before us. I think six of them launched with us. And we still have some that are coming along with some of our new states. And we'll talk about that. So who are our partners? Obviously, the grantees that I spoke about are state and local health departments that we work with. We actually have our APEXs, our four universities that we partner with. National public health and environmental health professionals out there, advocacy groups, CDC programs. A lot of CDC groups have come to us and said, we like what you're doing. We want to see if we can get our data involved in what you're doing, and that's a wonderful thing. And then federal agencies such as EPA. Here's our map. And if you've seen this before, then it's a little different because we actually added six new states, Louisiana, South Carolina, Minnesota, a couple others thrown in there. And you can also see our four educational partners, University of California, Berkeley, Tulane, University of Pittsburgh, and the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. So we've got the money, we've got the talent, now what do we do? We have to design what this tracking network is. And we started with principles. We said we've got to build something based on existing software. We've got to look at what's already out there. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to use standards that don't exist. We want to make sure that we're looking at what's already in place. And we tried to do that. We decided when we looked at data that we had to have metadata to cover everything because metadata was crucial. If we wanted to search the data or look at the data, and Gonza will get into metadata specific stuff in her presentation. We wanted to adopt standards that already exist. We wanted to provide a flexible framework. We realized that our partners, states, said to them, you can't do that. We won't allow you to use that particular geospatial software. We won't allow you to do this. We won't allow you to do that. So we wanted to provide a framework and talk to our states and work with our states. It was a partnership in deciding how could they implement the things that we wanted to do as a network. So one state's portal may use a different technology than what we do, and that's okay because we're all getting to the same result. And of course, we went through user testing, we did iterative processes, we brought in outside groups to look at our portal. We tried to make sure we were doing things the same across our network, and we still worked towards that. I said our partners were important, and we knew from the get-go that they were, and we took a leaf from EPA and decided to form work groups on how we do things, and we did. We broke it into three groups. The S&D group, which is pretty easy to figure out when you look at the topics under there, what it is, security, metadata, network architecture. It's the informatics group. It's the group that's here representing tracking, and it's probably what most of y'all are out there. So that to me is the network side. Program marketing and outreach, the people who do the video, the people that keep in contact with our states, and the content work groups. These were crucial to making everything work. We knew we had to do standards. We had to look at data. We had to make data consistent across all the states. We can't measure asthma in one state differently than we are in another because then the data means nothing to us. So these content work groups not only picked out the content areas, but picked out what we were trying to measure from within them. So here's our real functions. We're a web-based information system that exists at the local, state, and national level that services the public, the environmental public, health agencies, healthcare providers, and researchers. And we set up some functions of what we're going to do. We're going to provide nationally consistent data across all those. We're going to describe and discover the data, the metadata. We're going to exchange data with our states and with partners that give us data or we're giving data to. We're going to provide data management analysis tool. And we're going to inform and interact with the public. And we've really tried to touch these with the relaunch of our public portal. Okay, we'll talk about what the secure portal is and what that means to us in a little bit. The public portal. Public portal, like I said, launched in July. And we wanted it to be a place to disseminate data, not just for researchers, not just for the public, it's for everyone. Anyone can go there and pull the information down, look at the data, look at the charts, the graphs, the maps, see how that data affects them in their areas. We realize we don't have data from every area in there, and we're working that. It depends on the data set and how we collected it and what states we're partnering with and who has supplied us data, and we're continuing to do that going forward. It provides a public policymakers with an integrated one-stop access to health and environmental information. And it allows users to query the data. Nothing static in there. If you want to look at data and you want to pick a measure on how it's built and then you want to look across 3 years, when you run that query, everything's built for that time and you can look at that moment. We'll actually pull up the public portal and run a query here in a moment.
In contrast, our secure portal, which is not launched yet, we're working on it, supports secure communications. And I'll actually go through how we're planning on securing it in just a little while. But it's collaboration amongst our partners. In other words, if you're with the Department of Health of Florida and you want to look at how the Department of Health in Louisiana's data compares to yours, this would be the place you would go to do it. You have control of your data, they would have control of theirs, and ultimately it serves as a drawing board for turning that data into information. They can go there and look at all the public data and their private data, and if they want data from another state, they could ask that state, can we look at data? And none of this is out to the public. Each data person will have control of their data, and we'll show a little bit later the differences, a little more different between the national and public. Here's the chart I hate, because I've been in the same presentation in every room up to now, and I begin to squint and wonder why I'm not wearing my contacts. It's not hard, I won't go any in depth, other than to say, here's one of our grantees, here's this wild thing called the internet, here's the secure portal, here's all of our data areas. Really, if you're interested in all the mechanics of it, feel free to come talk to me afterwards. There's a lot of our tracking people in here too. I won't torture you with this graph, okay? But people like to see it, we're informatics, right? What data is available on version 1 of the public portal? This is what's out there now, okay? Asthma, MI, heart attack data, CO hospitalization, COED, childhood lead poisoning, housing data, cancer data, air data, drinking water, and USGS groundwater, okay? And depending on the data set, you may have different amounts of states and different sources that are there. A lot of that data actually comes in, Matt, I know we'll go into this on the data load, comes from our states, and just want to touch here, how do we get that data from them? We use systems that are already in place, going back to my original thing that we wanted to stay with what was already in existence. We use FinMS and Secure Data Network. We also have looked into working with Exchange, with EPA, and getting some of their data. But that's primarily how we collect our data from our states. Where are we now? I said we launched in July. 10 of our portals of our partner states launched before us, 6 launched with us. One is slated to launch very soon. We had obviously like any new site, a very strong push when our site launched. We were publicized in a lot of different journals and blogs. The site stats have leveled off. We're getting an average of over 1,000 visits a day, which is wonderful. And of course, we're seeing the same from some of our states are seeing spikes from the national portal finally being up. I'm gonna go ahead and hop out of here. I put some slides, but I'm not gonna use the slides because believe it or not, they gave me the real internet. Wow, I know, you don't usually get that at these things. So this is actually our public portal and it's available at ephtracking.cdc.gov, okay? And from the public portal, we tried to lay out the page so you can understand what you're looking for. We broke it down into 3 areas, info by location, if you wanna know what's going on in your location, health effects, and environment. So if I scroll down here, I'm gonna run one query. I'm gonna pick something very simple and easy. I'm gonna do an asthma query. Okay. Some general information about asthma. What is it? What's exposure, risk, prevention, tracking asthma? Stuff you would find on any site that talks about asthma. There's even links in there that links back to the asthma group at CDC and some other places. But we're gonna jump down straight to our query system. And this is, I'm gonna scroll down just so we can get all on the screen. This is our query interface. So what we're looking at is the same across all of our queries. So if you're doing MI queries, you're doing hospitalization for CO, all the query screens look the same. We start with asthma and hospitalization pre-populated. I could change that. And then finally we have our measure dropdown. And our measure dropdown allows us to choose what kind of measure we want to query. Now the measures vary. So if I want to go back and pick a different option, let's say I'm going to come back up here and pick childhood cancer, my indicators and my measures all change. But I'm going to keep it simple and stay with asthma. And we're going to just do, let's do age-adjusted rate of hospitalization for asthma. As soon as I pick that, all the states that we have data for appear. I'm going to say all counties in Florida, and I'm going to bring back 3 years. And there's additional options here. We can actually apply smoothing so we get a better idea of things if we're missing data. We can add advanced views and specify male or female. But I'm just still going to keep it simple and just run a basic query. And here we go. Our tab views over here contain your results of your data. So we'll begin with map view since there was a map to show.
All the legends are built on the fly. So we look at the data amounts that are there. We add that information up, find out how to do our class breaks, and we lay in our picture here. You'll notice that also suppressed and unstable data have been noted separately. And you can match that up with the table view. If we're going to the table view, we'll see suppressed data represented with stars. We'll see unstable rates represented in red. Also the same for the graph view, so we can take a look at all the graphs of all the counties, and it'll have a legend to show you all the information. And most importantly, query notes, so you can actually understand this data, explain what the data is about, so it makes more sense to someone who might not understand what this rate is or what it means to them. Okay. All right, so I'm gonna jump back over to the presentation. Planned enhancements. We try to add enhancements to the portal as we move forward. Each month we've been adding, this is our second release since the main launch. This month we added additional cancer measures to the national portal, along with making some cosmetic and graphical changes to make it a little easier. But we're still looking at adding additional cancer measures. We have birth defects data, carbon monoxide mortality, additional census information. So a lot of different, largely associated around the data piece, but a lot of different additional data to be added to the portal. And like I said, most recently some CDC groups have came to us and said, will you look at our data and consider, you know, this is a wonderful system, can we put that in there? Lessons learned. Boy, we've had a lot of lessons learned as a group and with our partners. We require different disciplines to step outside our comfort zones. We've struggled with the difference between public and secure user. How does a user fit? What should they get rights to? How do we give them rights? And we're still working through that. We've always struggled with adoption of standards, but we know it's critical. We've always wanted to make sure that we're using our partners to figure out what's best for the network as a whole. We never tried to be the one to say this is how we've got to do it, because that doesn't succeed. Working as a group is how we make it work. So with that said, what was our challenges? Well, we knew we had data issues from the get-go. We still have data issues. Resolutions aren't what we want them to be. We can't calculate, we can't get data that we don't have access to. So that relates to our data problem. Appropriate exposure metrics, utility to stakeholders, translating for the public. We can't, we're having issues as a group figuring out how to handle some of these things. And then finally, measuring the health impact. We're providing the knowledge of what we have, but we know without additional data, we're never gonna see the complete picture. So we know there's a lot of work to do with the portal. We know there's a lot of work to do with the network, but we feel we've made a strong dent into it, that our stakeholders are happy with where we're at, and we're moving forward from there. So now I'm gonna actually change from talking about the history of the program to actually the secure portal. I've showed you the public portal. Secure portal is not yet available. We're looking at bringing it up. The big difference between the public and the secure is the security. We're looking at how users can get to data, look at the data, massage the data, compare different states' data, chart it, graph it, all in a sandbox so they can see what they're wanting. And then from there, if it's valid and it makes sense, maybe that data gets to move to the public portal if it's public data and is available to do so, or maybe it's strictly for reference. We've introduced what we call the role-based access control, or RBAC, to manage security of our secure portal. Personally, I almost want to call it group-based access control, because I'm the Microsoft guy. I came from an MCSE and studied Microsoft, and for me, this is X500 group management in a very simplified form. So I always refer to it as that. So we decided to build roles. Ultimately, CDC doesn't want to be in charge of giving people permission to data. That should be issued by the owner of the data, the data holder. So we looked at how we would do this. The grantee submits data, and the data moves through FIN or SDN, secure file upload, into the CDC. We have our schema validation where we validate our data, and Matt will go into that. And then finally, down here on the bottom layers, we actually load the data into databases, the back end and the policies in the front end. This area in blue here, these are where the roles come in, where we actually assign permissions to users to be able to do that. We wanted it to be simple, so we created two roles. I skipped a slide, that's okay. This is roles control access to objects, what functions can be performed on them, the data, the measures, the tools, read, unique, upload, download. We've created the same basic things that you would do a file permission to a file inside Microsoft. You right click on a file, you give permission to a group,
and therefore a user gets permission. Individuals are assigned roles, not individuals assigned permissions. So we want to create roles that say this user can read this data, write this data, et cetera. So the purpose of the roles is to provide security by limiting access to the data and functionality on the network, to easily allow management of users and their access, and finally to assign roles to users based on competencies and responsibilities in an organization. But most importantly, we don't restrict the access to data. We restrict everything and allow the grantees or the owner of the data to give the rights to the data. So there we go. Get the tracking branch out of the role of giving out access to data. Same things I just talked about. I want to go back to our chart of all of our different groups. The standards and network group actually is the ones that security piece brought this out and have worked on developing this. And I'm only with the branch since February, so a lot of it was pre-decided before I came on board. But I think we're going in the right direction and how we're processing our data and securing the information. We do it through SDN. Of course, almost all the access to CDC inside is through SDN. SDN allows the user to log in to upload their data to CDC. Well, also SDN will be our gateway to get into the secure data network. That's done with the certificates, VeriSign certificates, challenge and passphrases. Each user has specific programs allowed to access. The secure network would be one of those. Two national roles. So we're gonna try to make this easier. There's the national administrator and the national viewer. National administrator is the person that can manage the roles for the grantees. The viewer is actually allowed to see all public data that we have in the database. We may have census data, we may have air data, the public data that's out there. And then we have this grantee administrator. This is the role we give to our partner, the owner of the data. That allows them to give roles to additional people. So we put it together a chart to make it a little simpler. Let's say you're any user that wants access to our secure network. Okay. First thing you got to do is you actually got to reach out to NICFI to get an SDN certificate. Okay. User requests and receives your certificate from NICFI. And then they actually approach the national tracking and ask to be verified with us. It's associated to the viewer role. That means at this point that user can actually look at any public data in the secure portal. Now the user can log on, look at the secure portal. Now let's say this user wants to get access from one of the grantees to their data. The user requests access to state data and is assigned the state role. This is assuming the data owner says it's okay. And then finally, the user has access to the national viewer as well as the secure data for that state or that program. Same thing here. This is a little bit different. This is what happens if it's a state grantee user. Works pretty much the same. They go through NICFI, they get their SDN. The user requests access to Oregon's cancer data in this case and is assigned by Oregon admin. Oregon admin is now the person that says, yes, you can access that data. And finally, this is what where we would do our part. If this is a state or a data owner, they would get their credentials and we would provide them the role of data owner for that data. And they would be the ones handing out the security for that. So basically, we want to keep the role simple in our back. We want to make sure that ultimately the data owner is the one responsible for the data. We want to allow the creation of many roles. If you want to go simple, that's fine. If you want to go complex, that's fine. It depends on your data needs. Data contributors can choose whichever model they want to do, and it's removing the national tracking program from handing out the roles. It's always up to the state or the data owner. Less burden and cost at the national level to maintain roles. So with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Matt, who's going to talk about data and how we handle the data process and flow into the CDC from our grantees.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Matt Cahill from the Environmental Health Tracking Network, and we're going to talk today about the data models and uses on the tracking network. The objectives is going to be who we get the data from, what we do with the data, and where the data goes, as well as some of our future challenges and next steps. This is a copy of the front of the portal, the home page, which this slide doesn't look as good now that we saw an actual live demo. Thanks, Shannon. And the data we're collecting, it's important Its use on the network is important that it's timely, it's valid, relevant, clear and easy to understand, comparable across time and place, sensitive, accessible, and actionable. The having the data, we want that to provide information, to take us to the step of knowledge, and the most important thing is to be able to have some action come off of that knowledge. We have 16 states and New York City that we currently get data from, and this network is not just a network of data, it's also a network of people. A lot of good relationships have been built throughout this process. The gateway that we receive data from is basically the interface for machines to securely exchange data with or without human interaction. How we do that is either using FinMS, the CDC Secure Data Network, and the EPA Exchange Network software. The current data sources that are up on the public portal now are asthma, heart attack, CO hospitalizations, CO emergency department, drinking water, and birth defects. And that is data that we get directly from the states. And then we have some federal partners where we're getting childhood lead poisoning, vital stats, cancer, air, and USGS water. The data that's submitted comes from a standard format that's been agreed upon from the content work groups. And this is just a basic file layout. So when we get the data in, we know exactly what we're expecting in each field, so it makes it a little bit easier for us to validate the data. The framework for the content splits up this way. First, we have domain, and this is health effects. Our subtopic here is cancer. The indicator within cancer is incident of bladder cancer or incident of thyroid cancer. The measure, which is what we actually query on the panel, on the from the query panel on the portal, gets down to number of cases, age-adjusted rate of bladder cancer. So the current stratifications that we have available are race, ethnicity, sex, and age group. A future enhancement is going to be to allow a second view, so you could easily compare arsenic in drinking water to the incidence of bladder cancer, and that's a future enhancement. The database implementation we used, there's basically a database entity for each conceptual level, and we'll talk about the different tiers, the five-tier data structure that we have. The tools we used are Microsoft SQL Server, WebLogic, Business Objects, and ArcGIS Server. The national portal receives data from two main sources. We get our state-based data comes into Tier 1. A lot of our national data will come into the process at Tier 3. Each tier provides data for the next. The movement of data typically involves some type of transformation, validation, or approval of the data to move from one tier to the next tier. The data in Tier 1, this is the entry point for state data. And it's simply a holding location. As it comes through either FinMS or Secure Data Network, if everything goes properly through that process, it ends up into Tier 1. And this prevents new data that gets submitted from corrupting the existing portal data. The only users here are the database administrators. In Tier 2, this allows us for some internal review of the data, statistical review, manual querying, and combining the tables around content areas, it gets us closer to our Tier 3 data. The users here are the tracking branch and the informatics team, the science development team and the informatics team. Tier 3 now, we're getting to where we're combining the data sets from the states. We're inserting the national data sets here. This will be, in the future, the first tier where the data is available to the public. I'm sorry, where the data is available, and it will be available to the secure portal users at this point. Tier 4, this is where we have our measures are calculated, and this is what drives the queries in the public portal. Aggregation of data to standard geographies, aggregation of different stratifying variables. Primary and complementary suppression are applied to assure the privacy of the data. The users here are the general public via the public portal and policymakers via the public portal. Tier 5, the purpose here is dynamically created to drive the maps on the public portal. This is where we will build the class breaks and the map legends to provide the data for rollover information as well, as you might have seen from the map that Shannon showed when he was doing the demo. The general public and policymakers also will get to Tier 5 data through the public portal. To publish the data, we're going through, we'll just take Tier 3 here, we're going to go through the business object universe, which is an application layer that applies the linkages, and that goes through the secure portal. Tier 4, through the business object universe, through the reporting mechanism from the same tool, out to the public portal. So again, just the tier structure, we're just the data flows through as we continue to process it and get it prepared for the secure portal first and the public portal second. This is like a 10,000 foot view of basically the process we went through to accept the data into the network, validate the data, and have it available out on the portal. An example of a query here, we looked up cancer, incidence of bladder cancer, annual number of cases, we selected multiple states, multiple years, and we're just showing the table view of that query on this slide. The lessons learned. We learned that we really need to shorten the data validation cycle, and we're hoping to use a tool called Schematron to do that. We've learned that XML is hard for non-IT professionals. Collaborative development takes a long time, but it yields solid stakeholder buy-in. Organizing broad information for public consumption is a challenge. It's easy to rebuild the silos that are currently out there. And integrating different geographic scales. The planned enhancements for data on the future portals are to increase the number of hospitalization data sets for asthma and heart attack, have birth defects data out there, carbon monoxide mortality, reproductive outcomes. We want more types of cancer data from more states, additional data on ozones and particulate matter, and additional census information. Thank you.